Given an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. My name is Sean Hayes, and I'm delighted you've joined us today. Today we have a special guest in the studio with us. He's none other than the creator, the producer, and the host of Given an Answer, Mr. Harold Felder. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me on my show.
I know it must be funny sitting in that seat.
Very.
Now, before we really get into conversation, Harold, what exactly is apologetics?
Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith. It basically proves that Christianity is viable, that it is true, that it is rooted in fact, not fiction, that you can actually look at the evidence and come to Christianity. It's not some blind leap of faith in some chasm. I mean, it's such things as demonstrating that God exists, mm-hmm. demonstrating that Jesus died and was resurrected, demonstrating that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. I could go on and on, but it's basically dealing with proving the historic Christian faith.
And why is that? Why do you feel that that's important?
Oh, because maybe every day a new religion pops up. Maybe more than that. But all these religions claim to have truth. All these religions claim to be the way to God or the way to salvation.
Right.
But that can't be. Let me explain it this way. The law of non-contradiction says that something can't be true and not true at the same time in the same sense.
Mm-hmm.
If I can demonstrate that Christianity is true, then all other religions that disagree with Christianity on those points are false. For instance,
mm-hmm.
Islam says that Jesus did not die and was resurrected. Well, Christianity says that Jesus did die and was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
If I could demonstrate that that actually happened, that Jesus did actually die and was resurrected, then Christianity is true on that point, and that Islam is false on that point. So there are so many religions out here. We're in this pluralistic society. We're in this relativistic society because there are so many religions. The thought is that, well, one of them can't possibly be true because there are simply too many. And that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me being a parent and having a five-year-old child, and sending my child to school, and going to pick her up, and she's in the playground, and that's like me saying, oh my goodness, there are like 100 kids here. None of them couldn't possibly be mine because there are so many. Now, that just doesn't make any sense. But we have to be able to defend that fact that Christianity is true, that it is based upon fact, and that it is a rational faith.
Right. You know, another point I was thinking of while you was talking is that apologetics is labeled as being pre-evangelism.
Right.
In other words, when an evangelist comes to town, he gives you the good news of the gospel. But there are some that have, whether it's just through confusions or through error or bad teaching, they have barriers that are hindering them from receiving that word. And apologetics, the way I've been shown as well, helps remove some of those obstacles and barriers that hinder people from receiving the word and accepting Christ. And like you said,
yeah.
if Christianity is true, your eternity rests on that.
Exactly. Nothing could be more important. I mean, we go about our daily lives and, you know, we go to work and we, you know, come home and we fix dinner and all that type of stuff. But we lose track of the fact that eternity is at stake here, that when we're here and we're going through the things we're going through, we cannot lose focus on that, because that is what it's all about. We have to make a decision here that will affect our whole eternity. James said that life is but a vapor. And then just like it's here now and it's gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to make it. That's the whole point of life on earth, is making the right decision. And that decision has to be for Christ if you intend to go on. Well, we will go on, but if you intend to go on to heaven, then, you know, we need to be living.
You're going to live forever, just where?
Yeah, everyone's going to live forever. It doesn't matter where you're going to live at.
Well, you seem very passionate about the whole subject of apologetics. How did you get involved? What led you into the apologetics?
I was an atheist. I was an atheist for most of my life. Mm. I was what you call a practicing atheist. Let me give you a little bit of my testimony.
Okay.
I was actually raised in a Baptist church. And I would go to church every Sunday, and they would talk about Jesus, but he was some guy way over there.
Right.
You know, there was no such thing as, we didn't talk about, you know, being saved and that type of stuff. One day I was sitting in Sunday school class, and I remember her name was Miss Young, my Sunday school teacher. And I was cutting up. I didn't want to be in the first place. My parents made me go. And I remember her pointing her little bony finger at me, and I remember her saying to me, if you sin, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I figure, you know, cross that bridge.
Right.
So I decided I was just going to bust hell wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I started to do. At a teenager, I was an alcoholic. I mean, I ran with the wrong crowd. I got involved in a lot of things that I shouldn't have got involved in. As a matter of fact, my last 2 years at high school, I actually spent down in Georgia because my parents didn't want anything to do with it. They were just fed up. I came home one day and there was like a one-way bus ticket to Georgia. And even down there, I mean, I still didn't do any better. I mean, I was smoking dope, I was drinking, and all the type of things that, you know, I was just being rebellious. Mm-hmm. So as time went on, I became more and more hostile to God. Eventually, I joined the Navy, and things just really went downhill there because I was 21 years old, and they sent me to the Philippines, and I was just like, you know, I just went berserk, and I did sort of what Solomon was talking about, where, you know, I basically, there was no desire that went unmet.
Unchallenged for
none,
you.
None. I mean, day in and day out. As a matter of fact, after I'd been there for 6 months, one day I went to get out the bed and I couldn't move. And I actually had to go to sick bay. And the doctor told me that the reason I couldn't move because my body just shut down. Because I wasn't sleeping. I mean, I would stay out all night, get drunk, and I would just go right in to work. And I became more and more of an alcoholic. And then once I finally got the Navy, I mean, that just continued. I got to the point where I was drinking like a fifth of vodka a day. And I was openly hostile to Christians. And one of the reasons why I was openly hostile to Christians because I didn't think Christianity made any sense. It just didn't make any sense. I would watch these televangelists on TV. Mm-hmm. And I would laugh at them. I would be like, what in the world? Why in the world would someone ever believe in that? You know, I have a degree in computer science. I worked at NASA as a software engineer for 8 years before moving here. So I had a logical mind, and Christianity just wasn't logical. It just didn't make any sense at all. And I mean, and so I continued to live a destructive lifestyle. When I was a teenager, I remember one incident where I actually got drunk and literally passed out in the gutter. I mean, literally. I don't mean, you know, figuratively. You know, I was literally passed out in the gutter, and a guy actually walked by, saw me in the gutter and heard me moaning. He heard me moaning and he actually went over to me and he found my wallet and my driver's license and he actually took me home. And they took me to the hospital. I was in the hospital for 3 days. I mean, I had alcohol poisoning. And not long after I got out of there, I mean, I stole my brother's car. My brother bought a car, stole it, and I wrecked it. I remember I was driving through they have those tunnels. This is interesting because they have these tunnels, you know, you go underground, they're like four lanes.
Right.
And I was driving down that tunnel. I decided I'm going to do my brother a favor. I'm driving to New York. I'm drunk, first of all. And I decided I'm going to do my brother a favor. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to blow his car out. So I hit the gas as hard as I could hit it. I mean, I remember seeing the gas. I remember seeing the speedometer go to 120. And I decided this would be a good time for me to reach in the back and get a beer. So I reached
That's
in the
real
back.
Logical.
Yeah. I'm a real logical person. So I reached in the back to get a beer. When I turned around, there was a car about 5 feet in front of me. So I slammed on the brakes. And I remember I was going right toward this wall. It was, you know, the side of the tunnel. It was a brick wall. And it was like in slow motion. You know how they say you see a lifelike flash in front of your eyes? And it was like slow motion. And I just couldn't do anything. I just saw it. And then I hit it. And then it was just like blackness and darkness. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, what's going to happen when I open my eyes? Am I going to be in heaven or am I going to be in hell? Mm-hmm. And I opened my eyes up. And I saw the other wall coming toward me. I went across four lanes, and I actually hit the other wall. And exact same thing happened then. But when I woke my eyes up, I was alive, and I couldn't believe I was alive. But you would think that would change. Well, that would change the average person, but not me. I mean, when the tow truck driver came, he was like, man, I just cannot believe you actually are walking away from this accident. I mean, there was actually a guy in there with me, and he actually got hurt. And I walked away. I have a little scar. I think God just let me have a little scar, just a little reminder of, you know, of the way things were. That didn't change me. I mean, I continued to live the way I wanted to live. I remember coming from a party one time after I got out of the Navy, and I was going down the road, and I remember waking up, and the car was basically driving itself. I can't tell you how many times I woke up and I had no idea how I got home. I can't tell you how many times I would wake up in the bed with someone and had no idea who it was or how I got there. I mean, I just lived a life of total debauchery until one day my uncle actually introduced me to this young lady. I started spending time with her, not because I wanted to become a Christian, but because she was fine. That's the bottom line there. I could say it another way, but that's the bottom line. So I started spending time with her, and she actually was a Christian. And she was the first Christian I ever met in my life who actually walked the walk. She talked the talk, and she actually walked the walk. Mm-hmm. So after spending time with her and, you know, just being around her, she was really a positive influence on me. And one day she actually invited me to go to church with her, like the 15th time. And it was on a Friday. And I remember thinking to myself, like, Lord, I can't believe I'm going to church on a Friday night. You know, sitting in the church on a Friday night. That's when I'm supposed to be out party. I'm at happy hour on Friday nights, you know. So I had my couple beers, and I went to church. And I don't know what the pastor was talking about. I don't remember what was going on. But I remember this, like, feeling just came over me. And it was just, like, this real, real strong and intense feeling. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, rejected it. We were riding in the car back. I mentioned that to her. And she said, well, you know, that probably was the Holy Spirit. So I said, okay. So that night, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then the next day, I was like, what in the world did I do? You know, I became a Christian. You know, I accepted this crazy, illogical religion. Mm-hmm. That's when I started getting involved in apologetics. That's when I started investigating to see if Christianity actually made any sense. In a sense, was it founded on fact, or was this all just some fantasy world? And that's when I started reading books on apologetics and topics like that. And that's when I started reading books about, you know, by Dr. Norman Geisler. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found out about Southern Evangelical Seminary. And that's why, you know, and I was coming down. I was going to the school for a while, and I was coming down here taking classes intermittently. And then last year, I just decided, you know, I'm going to do this. So I quit my job at NASA, sold my house, and I moved down here, going to school full time, becoming an apologist, because I want to reach people that were in a situation that I was in. Mm-hmm. I want to show atheists and those who have never seen the evidence, I want to show them the evidence. They can still reject.
Right.
Like you said, this is pre-evangelism. But they now have to reject with factual. They now have to neglect the factual information. Yeah. It makes them more accountable.
What's the one single thing? From the time that you got saved and you thought Christianity is irrational and sometimes before that probably even irrelevant, from that time to now, what you've studied and what you've seen, what has changed about your views about Christ? What has changed? What's the single most thing that's impressed upon you as a person? What has apologetics done for you?
You know, I'm going to tell you, it has helped me to realize that Christianity is just beautiful. I mean, some people can, you know, they have this idea of Jesus dying on the cross for us. And it's an idea that's way out there. It's not really personal. Mm. But when I became a Christian, I was still an alcoholic. I decided I was going to stop drinking. Mm. So I remember getting on my knees in my living room, and I remember, you know, trying to stop drinking. I couldn't stop drinking. I was just an alcoholic who was a Christian. And then one day I got on my knees and I prayed to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, help me. Help me take this away from me, because I can't do it, because I knew that I was going to die if I kept going the way I was going. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks later, I was taking a drink, and something happened when it touched my lips, and it tasted like gasoline. Mm. And ever since that day, I've not had a drink. I can't even stand the smell of alcohol anymore. God delivered me from that. Mm. Jesus delivered me from that. And my life had never been the same. And I made him a promise. I said, Jesus, okay, that's it. My life was a shambles.
Yeah.
My life was just horrible until you came along. I'm giving it back to you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm giving it back to you. And this is what he wants me to do. He wants me to do apologetics. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm doing apologetics. That's why I'm here. I'm going to try to reach a world that is lost.
You know, one thing I could say, listening to you talk and seeing just the passion in your eyes and the tears even coming up, what I appreciate about your testimony is that very fact, is that you're not, I've seen too many testimonies in the church that are puffed up.
Yeah.
Man, I used to do this. And when I was in the world, I did it good. Man, I had all these women and I had all this. And I used to say to people, you know what? If you were really talking about, if you was giving that testimony and Christ was sitting on one side of that table and your mother on the other end, you'd be holding your head down and you'd say, man, you know, I treated women bad. You know, I abused my body. I abused other people. You wouldn't give this glorified testimony,
right,
of how, man, when I was in the world, I would have cut you up, you know?
Right.
And I really appreciate the fact that when you gave your testimony just now, you gave it not only with passion, but you gave it with a conviction that showed me that you believed that you really was living a life of sin. And it leads me to believe that when you found Christ, you found something that was better.
I did.
Because many people say that, but they're just, you know, they found, hey, now my life is better. You know, they get the supermarket Jesus. But you really convinced me that there's a change that took place on the inside of you.
Yeah, and I don't want people to get the idea that, you know, we come to Christ just because we get something from him.
Right.
You know, the reason why I'm serving Christ now, I mean, I am so grateful for what he did for me. I mean, I want to serve him for that, but I also want to serve him because he is worthy to be served.
That's right.
Too many Christians now, they come to the table, and they come to the table because they want to get something off of the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I picture Christians, because you hear all this prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. and I hear Christians who come and they sit, you know, it's like they sit at the table of Christ, and they're talking to him, you know, like this, and then they're reaching over and they're grabbing an apple and they're putting it in their pocket.
Right.
No, we're supposed to come to Jesus. We're supposed to come to God because we want to be with him. He is not the means to an end. He is the end.
Right.
So we're supposed to be at the table with Christ, and we're supposed to be fellowshipping with him, and we're supposed to be enjoying being with him. We're supposed to, like, you know, I picture myself just laying my head on the breast of Jesus.
Right.
You know, just being with him, not because I want him to give me something,
right,
but because I just want to be with him.
You know, and as a baby Christian, it's okay to come to Christ in the beginning.
Right, that's true.
Because you, like some people say, well, Christianity is a crutch for people who are weak. Well, you're right. You are absolutely right. I needed Christ in my life, and you sound like you needed him too.
Yes.
The fact is, we all do. It's one thing to come to Christ because we need him. And then it's another thing to grow in your relationship and intimacy with Christ,
right,
as you move further and you realize that I'm doing the right thing sometimes, not because I'm scared of God, but because I love him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to disappoint my father, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah. Now, one of the things that happened to me once I became saved is that I started to be convicted.
Mm.
And the first thing, don't ask me why, but the first thing God convicted me about was fornication. Mm. I like to fornicate. And at the time, I had just met this young lady. And so I was, you know, we were sleeping together. And it was just like, you know, I was like, where am I ever going to get this up? Because it was just like, you know, I was just like all into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after the first time I slept with her, right, I became saved, I remember feeling very, very convicted. And I remember feeling very convicted. And I remember saying, man, you know, I hear about Christians who become Christians, and it really doesn't change or affect their lives. I'm like, well, God, why are you, you know, why this? You know, and then I slept with her again. And then the second time after I slept with her, it was like I could picture Jesus in my mind with a tear in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I had hurt the one person who loved me. It was like I hurt the one person who cared for me, who protected me through all my life. When I would wake up on the road and the car was driving itself, when I would wake up in the morning and had no idea how I got home, it was Jesus who was looking out.
That's
when
right.
I had the car accident, it was Jesus who was preserving me. He cared and loved me more than anyone ever could. And to think that I hurt him.
Right. Right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not ashamed to say, That was November 1997, and I've been celibate ever since.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey. I ain't ashamed to say that.
Hey, you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
That's right. Let me ask you a couple of questions about the show.
First,
what inspired you to do the show?
Okay.
This is a tremendous show, and you've had some tremendous people on that side of the table. You know, what inspired you to do the show in the first place?
Listening to a lot of different things. There were, you know, shows on Islam, there were shows on various cults, and there was just a whole lot of stuff that was just against the Christian faith. And I'm not against other shows being on because I believe that Christianity can hold its own in the marketplace of ideas.
That's
against
right.
any other religion.
Right.
But I say, well, there needs to be a voice. You know, there was no voice that I heard that was actually defending the Christian faith. I mean, there were preachers on,
mm-hmm.
but there was nothing actually on that was actually defending the Christian faith.
Right.
And I said, well, we need a voice. We need a voice. And I decided to be that voice.
That's right. And, you know, it's so glad that you have, because there are, you know, there's a reason why they put a lot of ministry programs on at night. And there's a lot of people who are going through things and they have questions, but they're never getting those questions answered.
Right.
And
right.
there needs to be a program where people who are coming, like, hey, if there is a God, why did this have to happen to my mother? You know, if there is a God, you know, why didn't he protect that young girl from that drive-by? Or whatever the case might be. You know, why did that 16-year-old who was, you know, everybody knows that was just the perfect kid, you know, develop cancer or just something wild, you know? And the problem of evil has been a big problem for a lot of people wanting to come to Christ. And like you said, the marketplace of ideas says that, you know, people can believe what they want, and relativism is, and then that's what you get in your schools, that's what you get in your stores, and it's like the books that you see.
Yeah.
You know, and so there is a need, definitely a need for defending the faith and showing people that Christianity is rational and logical.
Right.
And to start training people to think critically about what they believe and why.
And I, like I said, I worked at NASA before I moved down here. I worked with atheists. I worked with scientists. I worked with people who definitely denied the Christian faith, and it allowed me an opportunity to dialogue with them. And I remember a conversation I had with a young lady in my office. Actually, I wasn't even talking to her. I was talking to someone else. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the problem of evil. And I mentioned to her, I said, well, you know, if God were to all of a sudden eliminate evil, he would have to eliminate free will.
Right.
Because you have the free will to do evil. And then she looked at me and her eyes got big and she said, I've never heard anyone explain it that way before. It's like she had lived her whole life looking for answers and no one would give them to her.
Right.
You know.
Right. Now, what do you hope to accomplish with the program? Let me rephrase that. Not only what do you hope to accomplish with the show, but as an apologist as well.
I have, you know, resigned myself to the fact that I may not see many people come to Christ. But if I can just do my job of planting the seeds, if I can do my job of showing people that Christianity is rational, if I can do my job of breaking down the barriers that are between believing and not believing, that is what I want to do. That's what I believe God has called me to do, to break down barriers. That's what I want this show to do, to break down barriers.
And where do you see it going?
You know, I can tell you what I would like.
You know? That's what I want to hear.
Well, I can say, well, I would like for the show to be available on in other, you know, areas and just expand a ministry where I can do apologetics, where I can go to schools or to churches and whatever and give, like, talks on specific issues or give workshops on specific issues. And, man, I would love to do that type of stuff, man. I definitely plan on doing the show if I have to, like, bust tables during the day because I just think it's such a valuable thing. Now, having said that, what God wants me to do is a different story. I don't know, you know, but Right. These are the things that I want to do. And I told God, I said, you know, God, this is what I want you to do. But if he tells me I want you to go to Africa and spend 10 years ministering to one particular person, well, that's what I would do. Because I've committed my life to him.
Right.
You know, my life is no longer my own. You know, so I go where he tells me to go and do what he tells me to do.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
I told somebody that, you know, we try to discover what God is doing in our lives, not determine it.
Right, right, know? Right.
Now, what are some of your memorable moments on the show? I mean, you've had some great guests on the show with you, speaking about a lot of different great topics. What are some of your most memorable moments on the show?
Well, I've had some interesting guests, and I think one of my favorite guests and one of my favorite topics was...
Next to mine, of course.
Well, yeah, of course, next to yours. Yeah, second next to yours was when Frank Turk was on the show,
and
we were talking about abortion, and he was so passionate. I mean, and he was, you know, he's really animated, and I really enjoyed the show, and it also sparked discussion afterwards, because I had people come up to me who disagreed.
Okay.
And said that they didn't agree. So it allowed me an opportunity to express my point of view, you know, because that, you know, it was a door that was open. Because I remember at first I was thinking I wasn't going to do shows like that. I wasn't going to do the controversial shows. I wasn't going to do the shows on abortion and the same-sex marriage. And I decided, well, this is an avenue that God has given. And it's not about me.
Right.
It's about God. It's about, you know, doing what I think what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of doing a show if it's not about doing what is right? So yes, so I am officially politically incorrect, and I will continue to be officially politically incorrect because there are topics that people, because when you look at the regular media, you only hear one side of it.
Right.
You don't hear the stuff that you hear on this show.
Right.
This show isn't unique because it provides a different perspective. So
yeah, it's true. And, you know, and that subject is important, not only in one sense to show people that it's wrong and everything, but there are a lot of hurting people who did something that the world told them was okay.
Right.
But inside them, they still feel hurt. They still count down, my baby would be 8 today.
Right,
my baby would be 9 next year. Right. What would my child be doing? Sometimes it develops into a problem where they feel like they don't like other kids. They, you know... I was reading a book called Revenge of Conscience that talked about a young lady who husband was, I think it was a case of unfaithfulness. So the wife, to get him back, had an abortion.
Yeah.
And then later she gets pregnant again, and she hated herself so much for what she did that the thing that she could only think of to hurt herself again, because she didn't feel like she deserved a child, but she had another abortion.
Yeah.
And what the problem reveals is that there's a law written in our hearts.
Yeah.
There's a void that can only be filled by God.
Right.
Although the world is telling everything is relative, Although the world is saying that anybody can do whatever they want to, we say those things, but you can't consistently live that way.
Right.
You know, you don't live. If you can say, "Oh, Sean, anything is okay," but if I took off your glasses and stomped them and threw them on the ground and broke them, you'd say that's not right.
We bop.
You know, you there you go. So you automatically
know.
You
have black belt. Forgot about that.
So you automatically know that there's something inside us that tells us that even though a lot of young people have had abortions, something inside them didn't sit right. And although the world is trying to convince them that what they did was okay, that what they did was acceptable, they still hurt on the inside. And so apologetics helps them answer those questions why. But it also helps them realize that this infinite God loves you so much.
There is forgiveness. There's always
And not only is there forgiveness, but there's restoration. That God can heal you and he can strengthen you, you know, as he has you.
There is not a commandment I have not broken. And a lot of them I've broken on a regular basis. And I know in my heart of hearts that I am forgiven for every single one of them. I remember the day after I became saved, and I actually went down to, there was a Promise Keepers thing down the mall, and I confessed my sins. And I remember on my knees, I remember crying a literal puddle of tears. And I remember when that was over with, when I got up, it was like the whole world, the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders.
Man. We couldn't end on a better note. Harold, it's a pleasure having you in the studio today. It's been a pleasure, and I thank you for the privilege and responsibility you give me to sit in your seat.
All right.
And it's been a great show. I want you to stay tuned for more exciting programs to come in the future. Until then, God bless you, and have a good evening.
The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.